Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters. This is Background Briefing. And joining us now is William K. Black, who is a former litigation director of the Home Loan Bank Board, who investigated the savings and loan disaster of the 1980s. Currently, he's a professor of economics and law at the University of Missouri, Kansas City. He was executive director of the Institute for Fraud Prevention from 2005 to 2007, and he's the author of the best-selling book, The Best Way to Rob a Bank is to Own One. He spoke on Saturday at Occupy Los Angeles. Welcome to Background Briefing, William K. Black.
Thank you.
And I'm sorry to have missed you yesterday, Bill. The email went to the wrong account, I didn't know you were in town. But here we are already pitching your speech along with Robert Reich's speech, Bob Scheer's as well. So your fame has preceded you. What can I say?
We're happy to help raise money for a good cause.
So, William K. Black, I started out the first hour speaking with Kristen Christian, who is a young woman who owns 27 years old, owns an art gallery. She created Bank Transfer Day, which is a consumer activist initiative calling for a voluntary switch from commercial banks to not-for-profit credit unions. The event took place yesterday, Saturday, November the 5th, also Guy Fawkes Day, famous for the celebration of anarchy, if you will. It's been an extraordinary success. 650,000 plus new credit union accounts have been opened already. It's inspiring to talk to a young woman who's never been a political activist before. But it seems like somehow or other the American people have been given permission to be political activists again.
Yeah, and I think that is the biggest success to date of the Occupy Wall Street movement. In political science jargon, it's raised the salience of the issue. In human speak, it's gotten people talking about finance, thinking about finance, and thinking that they can do something about the terrible frauds that are causing these crises.
So do you believe that this Occupy movement is the beginning of restoring American freedom and financial democracy, I guess, is what Kristen Christian's Bank Transfer Day is about, right?
Well, I have no idea. It's early, and one can't predict these kinds of things. What I can say is it's been the best hope in years for doing so, and it is precisely what is needed to hold for example, the Obama administration, to all of its promises. And this is the real effort to take back America, take back America from the 1% and restore it to the 99%.
And it's not as if we need any more evidence that there's something wrong here. The last time we spoke a few months ago about the European banking crisis, you pointed out that what was really going on was that the big French and German banks are actually hiding the enormous amount of losses that they have on the books. Now we know that that Merkel got them to take a 50% haircut on their Greek debt. God knows how much Italians, Spanish, and Irish, and Portuguese debt they're holding. So it seems to me that we have a system now where, starting with what happened in 2008 with Lehman Brothers, that from now on, taxpayers around the world are bailing out banks. So the first huge transfer of public debt into private debt into public debt took place in 2008. But that's become the new normal. In Ireland, the bankers go crazy. The taxpayers end up assuming it as sovereign debt. I mean, how come there's never been... Why should the people of these countries be punished for the recklessness of these lenders? I just don't get it.
Well, you're right. This has been pictured in the press as a bailout of the Greeks, but it's really always been a bailout of the Greek and the German and the French banks. And in order of prominence, it's mostly a bailout of German banks.
So why aren't we focused on and why is it that the irresponsible lenders are made whole by the beleaguered taxpayers. And that seems to have started here in the United States with the TARP fund.
Well, it actually started, as you mentioned, in Ireland. Ireland had the insanity, right? It had budget surpluses. It wasn't running any kinds of major problems at the governmental level until they gratuitously decided to guarantee in its entirety the debt of the Irish banks. Not insurance obligations here, mind you, the debts of the Irish banks, primarily to German banks. They had no such legal obligation, and the result is catastrophic. They converted a banking crisis that was serious in and budget deficit crisis that was crushing. And so we now have the same circumstance that the Irish have known all too long, where the leading export of Ireland is the Irish.
Well, I don't understand, though, why this is not more better understood, that really the entire European crisis is a banking crisis, not a case of profligate governments out of control.
Because that's not a story that we're told.
So tell me, though, how does this, in your speech yesterday here in Los Angeles, which we can play excerpts of later, I mean, you're the man who put hundreds of these crooks away, put them behind bars back in the 1980s for ripping off the taxpayers in the savings and loan disaster. Not one person has gone to jail from Wall Street. A couple of hedge fund guys went to jail, but not for what happened in 2008. A lot of protesters have been arrested and had to spend nights in jail, but not one banker. Do you think this is going to change?
Well, again, it's only movements like this that can change this. Let me tell you that I've just come back from doing three talks in 3 days in three states. And the middle one was at the University of Chicago Law School in the belly of the beast, right, that produced this insane theoclassical economics, where their leading law prof on this subject said, a rule against fraud is not necessary or even particularly important in securities. Right? Now, he wrote that after he had been an outside consultant to three of the worst frauds of that era, tried to apply his theories in the real world, got it completely wrong. So I go to the University of Chicago. His name is Fischel. I come to the law school, and what is the building named? It's named the Daniel Fischel Building. So the people who got it absolutely wrong are the folks that the University of Chicago is celebrating to this day.
And how is it, though, that these people have the political power to write the laws in such a way, in the name of freeing up the entrepreneurs on Wall Street and taking the shackles off the millionaires, which was Ronald Reagan's famous campaign slogan, you know, put the handcuffs on the welfare queens and take the handcuffs off the millionaires, that kind of nonsense. They sell these deregulation plans based on that. But it seems like they deregulate the law to the point where fraud, larceny, this massive Robin Hood in reverse, where billions and billions and trillions are taken from poor, aspiring minority groups wanting to own homes. They end up living in their cars. I mean, one of the most amazing things that we have at the moment in the United States, Bill Black, is we have growing homelessness and growing homes without occupants. You know what I'm saying? We got empty homes.
Yes.
And people on the street. I mean, that's some kind of example of something deeply wrong, don't you think?
Yes. So what they've created is what we call in criminology a criminogenic environment. And you're right. It's the three D's that produced this, along with executive compensation. The three D's are deregulation, desupervision, you put people in charge who won't enforce the rules, and de facto decriminalization. And that's what we have. As you noted, nobody prominent from Wall Street involved in this mortgage mess has gone to jail or even been indicted for selling the fraudulent mortgages and for the accounting fraud involved in it. And we have institutions. I talked about yesterday, for example, the fact that people need to remember that regulation can be quite effective. In 1990, 1991, these liar's loans. So the three D's are deregulation, desupervision, which is even if the rules stay, nobody enforces them, and de facto decriminalization. And those things have never been worse and leading up to this crisis. I was also explaining that regulation can work, that we stopped in 1990 and 1991 a whole series of these kinds of fraudulent lending and drove it out of the insured industry, but that the most notorious of these frauds went over, gave up its federal charter, gave up its federal deposit insurance for the sole purpose of escaping our jurisdiction and our ability to regulate them, and created, changed the name, became Ameriquest, was caught twice more in making massive amounts of fraudulent loans targeting minorities, whereupon the head of that entity, Ameriquest, Roland Arnau, was made our ambassador to the Netherlands.
And who gave him that perk?
President Bush.
George W.
The reason, of course, was that he was the leading political contributor to President Bush. So when you ask, why do we have these criminogenic environments? Well, they control through the very tops of the administrations in Congress who gets appointed as regulators, and they control most of, obviously there are some exceptions that we need to support, but they control most of the way the media covers, and of course not fails to cover, these kinds of developing crises.
And so in terms of what has driven this concentration of wealth from the 99% all the way into the 1%, and apparently it's like a 0.5 of a half of a percent or something that actually, you know, really contributes to the political system in terms of, it's even more concentrated, in other words, in terms of buying our politics.
The top 400 families have more wealth than, I think it's the poorest 150 million Americans.
Well,
off the charts.
Still, just in terms of human terms, and in terms of the suffering out there, and the people that are being evicted, and the people who are being foreclosed on, I find it extraordinary, though, that you think you have this growing number of homeless people, or people living in, crammed into motels, living in their cars, living with their relatives, and all of these houses sitting empty. Do you see what I'm saying? It's
no, absolutely. And we need a massive rental program. And we need to stop the foreclosures until we root out all of the foreclosure frauds. And we're not doing any of those things. In fact, what's happening, and this is the most shameful thing on the financial front. There have been other shameful things on torture and such. But on the financial front, this is by far the most shameful thing. Right now, as we are dealing with this crisis, the administration is pushing very hard on the state attorney generals to enter into a settlement in which we will give immunity to the elite criminals that caused this crisis. Indeed, it isn't simply that they won't be prosecuted. The immunity they're trying to get, and the press says they are likely to get it, is that they will not even be investigated. So people will not find the facts.
But why? Is this pure lobbying power of the banks? Because the five biggest banks tend to own everything at this point, unless, of course, this bank transfer movement takes off and people start moving their money out of these big banks into credit unions. And I think, Bill Black, at the end of the day, there's nothing that hurts these people more than when you take away their money. And frankly, wow. I'm always mystified why there's not a consumer movement out there to boycott the consumer products created by the Koch brothers. I don't know why anybody buys Brawny paper towels or Dixie cups, because all that money goes into the hands of the Koch brothers, who then use that money to buy politicians whose job it is to get rid of the Environmental Protection Agency, get rid of Social Security, get rid of Medicare, and basically make sure that the oligarchs don't pay a cent in tax.
Yep, but there's something better, and that's putting them in prison and taking away their money.
Well, let's talk about that then. I mean, tell me why it is, though, that the Obama administration, because we have to get some clarity on this. Why did the Obama administration, why are they urging the state's attorney generals not to go after these fraudsters? Who's telling them to do that?
Well, I can tell you the official explanation, which is profoundly cynical. Remember, when you go up against these folks, you're going up against the best lawyers in the world, right? And they will spend money like water to protect the CEO. And so they will follow very good tactics. And their tactic here was, we will not only give you money as a settlement for our frauds, but we will use that money to go to homeowners who are distressed. Now, a tiny, tiny subsection of them. But now the administration is pushing this as, how dare the state attorney generals stand in the way of relief for these poor people who would lose their homes? Do you see how cynical it is of pitting them against, you can't prosecute us because otherwise money won't go to the poor and they will lose their homes.
Well, but what's happening in the housing market, Bill Black, is that people who want to sell their homes, say you're a retired couple and you don't need a big home anymore and the kids are all gone off to college and you'd like to, downsize and maybe get a condominium at the beach somewhere, you put your home on the market. It's going nowhere because the market is chock-a-block full of short sales and foreclosed homes. There's millions and millions of empty homes in this country. And there are millions and millions of Americans homeless on the streets. That's the real, it's almost a failure. Talk about a failure of the system.
No, it's a total failure, and that housing doesn't just stay vacant, it gets destroyed. So not using the housing productively is simply to add to human misery and to destroy wealth. What's happening in very large part is that the banks, especially the largest banks, the systemically dangerous institutions, the top 20 or so, and that, by the way, is the real story as to why the administration won't take them on, they have convinced themselves that if we do anything to hold accountable the elite frauds at these systemically dangerous institutions, there will be another economic crisis. And therefore, they must be given immunity. It is the stupidest, absurdest, most obscene formal surrender to crony capitalism that we are likely to have the sadness to witness all of this. But yeah, they have to deal with the homes, and what happened is the banks used Congress to coerce the Financial Accounting Standard Board to change the accounting rules so that the banks don't have to recognize the losses on these bad assets until the home is actually sold. So often it's in the interest of the bank to sit there, even when nobody's paying on the house, for years, so that they don't have to recognize the loss on the sale of the house. And that is completely perverse, and we need to change those accounting rules and back to real rules. And by the way, they weren't just trying to hide the losses. What they were trying to do and succeeded in doing is by hiding the losses, they were able to resume the extraordinary executive compensation and make themselves wealthy for destroying America. What I emphasized is the truest, largest lie, the most obscene lie right now, is this claim that these people are the productive class. They are exactly the opposite.
The job creators. The job creators, right?
Yes. The greatest destroyer of jobs, the greatest destroyers of wealth, the greatest destroyers of human dignity in existence. They are weapons of mass destruction against the American people. And they are wealthy in very large part because they are frauds.
Well, Bill Black, it seems to me that just in closing here, that maybe if our government, instead of bringing about justice and putting these people in jail, if they've made a deal with them to get them off the hook in this cynical way that you've just described, maybe the best way to take down the big banks is to boycott them and follow Christian's example of from Bank Transfer Day. And take your money out of these big banks, put them in local credit unions.
I don't think it's the best way because it will not get them to change their behavior in any of the dollar amounts we're likely to get. But I'm very supportive, very happy that they're doing it because it gets tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands, eventually millions of Americans thinking, what can I do to take back America from the 1%. And so we're not going to rely on any one strategy, and we don't have to debate which one is the absolute best. We need to proceed with a whole host of strategies on behalf of the 99%.
Well, Bill Black, I thank you so much for joining us here today.
Thank you so much, and I hope folks are in a position to support your great efforts.
Again, I've been joined by William K. Black, who's a former litigation director of the Federal Home Loan Bank Board, who investigated the savings and loan disaster of the 1980s. Currently, he's a professor of economics and law at the University of Missouri, Kansas City. He was executive director of the Institute for Fraud Prevention from 2005 to 2007. He's the author of the best-selling book, The Best Way to Rob a Bank is to Own One. He spoke on Saturday before the Occupy Los Angeles. We're going to take a brief station break, and we'll be back in a moment talking about how the Cold War between Iran and the United States is heating up.